Yitzchak Twersky recited Kapitel Mem Beis, and then I'll start. I was down Kufu Tess. After 15 minutes, Aaron Lichtenstein started saying Tehillim. Sukkot Daf Mem Vav.
Cheskiye said, in the name of Rabbi Amye, in the name of Hashem Benichoy, Oisi Anshei Aliyah, the Hema Marti, I took notice of the fact that the Anshei Aliyah, the superior beings, are very few. In Elohim, in the superior beings, add up to 1,000, and we would mean him. I, Rakshir bin Yochoy, together with my son, are among the 1,000. In Elohim, in the Anshei Aliyah, the superior Jews, are 100 in total. And me, with me in the hand. Masohim, the superior Jews, and up only to 10, then and me with me in the hand. And Shnaime, in the Anshei Aliyah, are only 2 in total. I and my son Eliezer, the 2. What is the meaning of this mysterious thing? That has been shown. It speaks of Galbe has been shown. But Rakshim bin Yechori and his son of Ezea were hidden in a cave 7 years. They were hidden not only from the Roman authorities, but even from their own brethren. No one knew of their greatness. No one knew what they were involved in. For 7 years, without seeing the shine of the sun, they were engaged in writing the Zohar. Light. What kind of light? Spiritual light. Light that will reflect and refract and diffract upon the whole Jewish people and indirectly on the whole world. Whenever I think of my brother Rabbi Sibber, Zecheinu Livracha, I cannot help but to think of my father Rabbi Moshe, because my brother Rabbi Sheber and my father Rabbi Meishi had one neshama, one soul, one mind, one heart. When the Yom Mechadish really came in, the Yom Mechadish began. I don't know of any parallel in the history of the early Yisrael. The only one I can think of is Rabbi Akiva Yehiyah and Rabbi Shlomo Yehiyah. These two also, when they are Mechadish Chedeshet Ha'ir, it wasn't a monologue, it was a dialogue. As you see, in the very Yikovar, Chedesh Yehiyah constantly mentions, with me, Rabbi Shlomo, when the flame lights battle, only mainly shall achieve it. But there is one difference. The flame in here, the flame in here, had one ishame, one mind, one heart, when they were not him in the chariot. The Yoshebear and the Meisha, the Chayim of Rocha, or him in the chariot, him from everybody, him from their own Talmidim, the thousands of Talmidim they had. The Meisha and the Yoshebear were Rosh Yeshivas, the Yeshivas of Sevachonim, since 1929 until 1992. But the two of them were not feeling alone. Revealed, they tried to hide, not to reveal their Torah. And people say there is a tradition in Brisk not to publish Torah. It's true. But what is it? It's not there. It's a tradition in Brisk not to publish Torah. The tradition is grounded in the fact that they tell it that the Zohar cannot be revealed the moment it is reflected. It has to go through a process, a threefold process, known in physics as reflection, refraction, and diffraction. What is reflection? Reflection, by definition, means where there is some connection with waves of light or waves of sound. It means that the body emits waves that bounces back to the place from which it emanated. Reb Chaim Volozhin, as well as his father, the Beis HaLevi, and his grandfathers, the Bitzalei, Reb Chaim Volozhin, so they task was a relatively simple task, to reflect the Torah. The Torah that was given at Sinai, to reflect it in all the corners of the earth. My father, Reb Meisha, came to America in 1929. Then he had a more difficult task. Reflection couldn't have been enough. Reflection is possible when there is one medium. In Volozhin, in Brisk, there was one medium for which the rays of the light of the Torah were able to penetrate. There was no other, there was no necessity to have recourse to the process of refraction, which means the bending of the rays. When the rays of the sun have to change the direction from one medium into another, from the medium of pure air into the medium of water, of rain, then there is a bending of the rays, but no breaking off of the rays. But sometimes, when the rays of the sun have to penetrate through an opaque person, then bending is not enough. Then there is a law of nature that the rays of the sun have to manipulate, to penetrate, by breaking off into the spectrum of colors. This is the phenomenon of the rainbow. Nusati Bono, that was the covenant. Every covenant was coupled with a symbol. What was the symbol that expressed the covenant between the Ein Shalom and the whole human race? There's the rainbow. When does a rainbow happen? When it starts raining, there is a flood, keep some point, no sun, then all of a sudden, the sun comes out. Then the sun not only is required to change its medium, but it has to manipulate, to break off into its numerous and multifarious components called the spectrum of colors. And then we see in our belly there, describing the King Brother, Kimare, Hashemesh, Bisechonon, Kimarekin. That is the Mare, the King Brother. The King Brother was the spiritual leader of all Israel, and indirectly of all of humanity. He was a scholar for Kshonim, the Tzitanim. He was a scholar for spiritual light for the whole Jewish people. How do you do it? You have to resort to the spectrum of colors. You have to break off into the numerous and multifarious ways. My father got made shake in the United States. He had to change the medium. In the Chaim's days, in the Mishalini's days, in the Sim's days, in the Lefushina's days, in the Mishalini's days, in the Chaim Alojina's days. So, the way to shed light was a very simple one. Relatively speaking, all we had to do is to explain the Yonei HaTorah. But when the nation came to the United States, he had to penetrate into students who were living in a different medium, in a medium of Torah and Chochmas Lula, Chochmas Elam. It wasn't easy for my father, the nation, to explain concept of Torah, concept of Akira Lanochim. My father used to say, used to tell me, when I give a shiur on Rav Chazoke, it's so simple. I don't have to explain 10 times, but when I give a shiur on Akira Lanochim, on Torah, Eini Machshuv Ashtar, Nazir Kishidako, Eglis of the Desert, that an ordinary piece of paper, it testifies everything. Everything is more in Shuvah's principle. I have explained it several times, and I have to prepare it. How to explain it? Because the students, the Shuvah's principle, Honon, who are raised in a different media, they can press concepts of stories of Akira Tzirachanoha. You can press Prof Chazoki, Svet Fake. That's a very simple thing. Every judge can understand that. But not the concept of stories. When my brother there became Rosh Hashivi in Yeshiva Sabzachanon. So then in 1940, then he had a bigger challenge. To penetrate the Gizka Torah into paid students, not as we show them, criticizing them. They were paid because they were raised in an environment that is hostile to Torah. He had to resort to giving lectures in Jewish philosophy. In Jewish philosophy, in Cheres HaVoris, in Eren Bukhin, in Kuzari. So that was the most difficult challenge. But he fulfilled that function of diffraction, of breaking off the rays of the Torah into its numerous components gloriously and successfully. And now I would like to mention certain tricky variations that is very relevant to my father Rebbe Shaddai. In Bereishis on Zion, the Torah says, in the soil of Abbas Yeshay, in Kolbonov, Kibben Skumbun, Yisrael, Yaakov Avinu, loved his son Yosef more than any other children. Why? Because he was the Ben Skuni. What's the pshat in Ben Skuni? So three pshat. One pshat is he was his son who was Neilat in the old age of Yaakov Avinu. Yala pshat is Shehoyo Ben Chaki. He was a very wise, smart son in the sense of the Zokei of Mishapan Chachma. That Yosef Tzadik was recovering the whole Torah that Yaakov received, learned in the Mishnah Shachim later. He also makes in his passage, in order to symbolize Yaakov's preference to Yosef, he made him a striped shirt by Yehuah Echov, Pieshe Oav Odin Golachov. His brothers saw that Yaakov, knew their father, loved Yosef more than any one of them. By instantly, in all the English translations, it is translated, they hated him. That's a very natural translation. Even disliked him is a very inaccurate translation. In my opinion, by instantly means they resented him. Not that they hated him, not that they disliked him, but they resented him because they loved him. And they wanted that Jesus should be one of them. But they felt that he was superior to them. Not because they didn't have that potential. They had the same potential as Jesus. But Jesus tried all the time to galvanize their potential. They didn't. So we are jealous. Jealousy is not grounded in nature. Sometimes it is conducive to it. Jealousy is grounded in inability, in not being ready, not an inability, to do what the other person does. The other person does his utmost to galvanize his potential. And they don't. So they couldn't, they resented him so much, they couldn't even talk peaceably. Yaakov Yosef Chavri, Yosef was a dreamer, and he dreamt a dream. But Yaakov laughed. He didn't, this time, this dream, he didn't tell his father Yaakov. The second dream, he told his father Yaakov. Yosef dreamt two halimis. One dream they was in one day of the only sovereign Mishri Chassadet and Almi Malum. All the brothers were standing in the field in the binding sheets. And of course, she sheet was also binding his sheets. Then, all of a sudden, their sheets started to encircle. And look around the sheaf of Joseph. And then they bowed down. So, Joseph's sheaf, this was one dream. The second dream was more glorious, more spiritual. Nay, Hashemesh, by Reich, symbolizing Yaakov, and Leah, the Hadassah of Jehovah, and the seven stars symbolizing the brothers of Joseph. And they are all bound down to those that have been. That was a very strange thing. That dream, he told his father Yaakov. And Yaakov rebuked him. What the obvious Shamar had done. Yaakov fell. He's convinced that this is not an ordinary dream. The Chalim should be available. What is a prophetic dream that is destined to be fulfilled? So they resented him more, and they started to dislike him more. And he says, by Sater Aloviv, the Lechov, by Yida Beyoviv, Ayeinu lei, ma'achal ma'zeh ashkalont, habeinu habein, amin yinucho, yinuchicho, yishtachad eichach ha'arza. By kanu bi'alchit, echot, yish ovi shomar sada. What did this dream symbolize? Another dream. Yaakov Avinu was also a dreamer. As it is mentioned in Ayitze, he dreamt of a dream of a Shulam Mutzafarzo, the Reishay Magia Shomaimo. He led us to that on earth, and can three ground, and its top reaches on the head. Yitzchak Tzadik dreamt two dreams, but the two dreams were really two component dreams of Yaakov's own dream. But Yaakov lived in a time when everyone he knew and with, that was before he arrived in Haran. So everyone he knew and with was convinced of the heritage of Abraham and Yitzchak. So it was one dream was enough. He had a dream of a Shulam Muzafal Sobodeshi Nageshamayim. But Yosef dreamt of the day when he'll go to Egypt and he'll become prime minister of pagan Egypt. He talked to them about soon the false relation of Yashamayim. They'll consider him crazy. Relation of Yashamayim. They have no concept of humanity. They only had a concept. So he had to analyze his father Yaakov's dream into two dreams. And the Chaim himself was criticized by many people who recognized that the Chaim's Torah is the Amishal Torah, where they criticized him by saying, by calling him the chemica, the chemist, the Chaim. Also discovers there are two alohas, two din. No, they felt there is always one din, not one aloha. They resented him, and the brothers of Yosef also resented Yosef because he dreamt two dreams. But in the days of Yosef, in the pagan world, in Egypt, everything in the birds absorb pagan melodies. Yosef had to dream two dreams. The same problem was with my father, Sheikh. It's not his fault, and I'm not criticizing any of his fault. And then it was Sheikh. But it's your dua. Then it was Sheikh. The thing is told in America. Alienated themselves. How will she die? Why? That's what she now do. He gave Shimon in a woche. 5 hours. There's no other way she ever did. Nothing wrong with that. But he also gave lectures in philosophy. In the Chibis in the Kuzari, in the real book. That they could not do. They could not do it because they didn't know how to break the reins of the Torah into its various spectrum colors. So then, there is anything to an extent that even there are some of the things of Torah that they heard and they liked and they enjoyed and they realized each has lines on certain sugyas and shas. They mentioned it in a published form in the name of Rav Chaim, not even the name of my father, Zecher Lavrach. I'm not criticizing them. If I had been among them, probably would behave the same way. But they let me quote certain sukkah from Balchi of the broche that Yaakov Avinu bestowed upon Ben Terosis. Yosef is a fruitful bone. Pyros Aleoni, a fruitful bone by the well, whose branches run over the well, the archers, who are the archers, not the Egyptians, but the Yisachim, his own brothers. His own brothers to whom he was so close, they were the archers who sincerely, Bishim Shamayim, cast arrows against Yosef. The archers fiercely attacked him and shot at him and ate him. But his bow, a bold in strength, he didn't fail. And the arms of his strength were made supple by the hands of the Almighty God of Yaakov. From thence, from the shepherd, the stone of Israel, by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee, with blessings of heavens above, blessings of the deep that couches beneath, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. Yosef was endowed with all the genes that he inherited from his father Yaakov, and the genes he inherited from his mother Rachel. Together with the milk, Yosef as a child sucked from the breasts of Rachel, he also sucked concepts of vision, concepts of chesed, and of course, the Achim of Yosef resented it. But I wish you got to, that the baby Shalom blessed him with all the genes of his father Meshe and his grandfather Chaim, his great ancestors, in Saudi Arabia, the seed of Khandalusian, and he was blessed with all the genes of my mother's Khandalusian, of her very Persian. And that's why he was here to become the rich Khandalusian, not the Dalek brothers on a table, where the Dalek brothers did not try to galvanize the qualities that they inherited from the parents, Yisrael. I'd like to conclude with two statements. One statement, and I beg each and every one of you not to misunderstand me. I don't want, and I don't mean, to single out any child of my brother and sister. They're all the same. But everybody has his destiny. Just as Yosef had the tragic but fortunate destiny, as the Rishon said to Yaakov Avinu, "Ki Yosef Yoshis Yodei Necho." Yosef, your son, will put his hand on your eyes before you die. That is a source that not everybody is there. I wasn't there. I was in Shamish, my father. I wasn't there. That I should put my hands on the eyes of my father, Zechayim Levach, 52 years ago. But Rabbi Yeshua, my father, was Zeicha. And he was there with my father the last few moments. He woke up, and then he had to say the Birkas HaShacha. So he said to my brother, "Bel, you're Bedir, you're down zone, the Birkas HaShacha, but the Chodesh Kinkeach. So du besogn the Birkas HaShacha, gis Wasser, über my hand, for water, over my hands, and say to us HaShacha, unichalen saromen, ichalen saromen." So then, my brother did it. He filled up a pail, a cup of water, he poured it on his hands, he wiped his hands, and he made all the Birkas HaShacha. And then my father said to him, "Baron, through the Roman Spader, erstens, I do us the kindle, the Pasik of Yeshiv, Yoshis, Yodei Alinech. Zweitens, the Roman, as the Pasik, Smachs Wum Bittisacho, the Socha Berlech." Didn't explain, and then closed his eyes. And what he meant was the Medrash, "Rabbi, smachzvun v'tisecho, v'tisecho v'yom hazeh, v'yisocha v'alecho, v'dei smachzvun v'tisecho, v'tisecho v'yom hazeh v'yom abo, v'yisocha v'alecho v'yom abo." So, I'm saying it's Rabbi Shabbat. Smachs wohnen mit sich auch. Mit sich kommt, wenn wir mal sehen. Wenn wir mal wo. Und ich so kommt, wenn wir mal. But I want to single out two children. Rabbi Yitzchok Tversky and Atara Tversky. They were zeiche to that schutz, to the care of their father, Rabbi Yisrael Berg, in the last days of his life. And yesterday, I walked over to Tara's house, and I stayed there 2.5 hours. And I think, okay, I was holding there, what's he doing? And I was allowed to say to him, "And then, Mason, you told it from a..." But in the town, I was not saying to him either. But every half hour, I saw Tara stood up and bend the face and took a good look at my father as he was lying on the floor, the towels covering them up. And she looked at her father, whose eyes she wasn't able to see then, with so much love and affection. I was 75 years old. You'd be near of me, 76 years old. I never saw that. She didn't look, I saw many mothers looking at their deceased children with love and affection, but I never saw in my life a daughter looking with so much affection at a father who was lying on the floor, covered with the towels. And then I felt a certain jealousy towards Tara and towards her Hitchcock, that they were zeiche to this tragic and fortunate truth. Then I want to tell, to repeat one more thing that my father mentioned in Hesped 52 years ago over my father in 1940. He said, when Chaim Aloysius passed away, his son Rabitzale, his mocking Aloysius, said to all the Talmudim Aloysius, at that time Aloysius had very few Talmudim, I don't think they had 100 Talmudim. So he said, Talmudim Aloysius, the Medrash Eicha tells us that when the Misamidrash, the Misamidrash was destroyed and was in flames, so the Kirche Tune, the Yomid Netorah in the Misamidrash, went up to the roof of the Misamidrash, and he threw down the keys, and he said to the Rebbeinu Shalom, we don't need the keys anymore. Please, take it. And then a figurative hand came out from heaven and grabbed the keys. He saw the horse and said, you think that it was to the credit of the Puritan? No, has it fallen. It's in criticism of the Puritan. That was the biggest blunder that the Puritan made. If they hadn't thrown the keys into the fire, then, in a short time, with the required effort, they would have been able to rebuild the Misamidrash. Don't repeat that blunder. I'm telling now, to all the Mitzvot, not only the seventh year, but all the Mitzvot in the United States and Canada, and in Israel, don't repeat that mistake. Don't throw the keys of the Misamidrash Yad of Yeshiva Savitzko Hanon, where Mishpachas Brisk had been penetrating Lights of Torah since 1929. Don't throw the keys into the fire. Keep the keys and rebuild the gates of the Misamidrash Yad. Let us hope that we'll be destined to see the day of Bila Hamas for Nesach, Boha Shemokti, Dimo Yamukopa.
Somebody else speaking now? No?